if you had to, what are the three?
Shag, marry, and kill.
Shag, marry, or kill. Shag, marry, or kill. And this is just hypothetical. Adam, Jeremy, Pat.
He's like, I didn't do anything. I think that's to be a part of this narrative.
So I'm going all three of them?
Yeah, I'm one of each.
All right, so I only get to shag one, kill one, and marry one.
That's it.
That's it.
Adam, Jeremy, and Pat.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Well, I think I would definitely shag Jeremy.
Perfect.
I don't know if I could stare at Pat's cul-de-sacs while it was going down. And Adam's just too hairy, so. and if you see Jeremy, we got the new video coming out for Afterburn, the guys be like, girls be like video. And if you see Jeremy in some yoga pants, now you know what I'm talking about.
Nice.
So I got killing Mary. Oh, man. Man, this is good. Pat and Adam, who am I going to kill and who am I going to marry? I think I'm gonna kill off Adam. I think I'm going to kill Adam, and I think I'm going to marry Pat, because Pat just seems like he'd be a fun-ass time. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like I could travel.
Yeah, I'll travel, take vacations all the time. Be lots of vacations, lots of Vegas. So yeah, that's I'm okay, going. I'm
perfect.
That's what I'm going.
That was awesome, man. I like it. I think
that's a good question. That was a good question. What's going on, everybody? Tony Velasco here. Welcome to episode number 5.
Yeah.
Of the Tony V Project. Super pumped and excited to be here with two of my good friends, Samir and Jen Sakar. A word of advice to any future guests. The bar has been raised. So bring your gifts. We're going to open it right now. So huge thank you, guys.
Definitely,
thank
man. Thanks for having us over, man.
Bringing gifts on to the Tony V Project.
Yeah, it's only...
We have, again, we have not real sponsors, but Fire H2O, we can pretend you're one. We'll just make you an unofficial sponsor right now.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah, we'll drink to that. You can just send the check. Just send the check, Fire H2O, first official, first official unofficial sponsor. And look at this, Jeremy. I know we're, can we zoom in on this? Look at this.
It's going down for real.
We have official mugs now. For the Tony V Project.
Yeah. Nice.
Shit just got real, Jay.
Legit.
Just got real. Well, thank you, guys.
Definitely.
Big time.
Our pleasure.
These are definitely going to be centerpieces here going forward. So I'm excited about that. But let's get to it. Let's get to, you know, why you guys are here. Like I said, it's really kind of inspiring watching you guys and what you're doing. For anybody that doesn't know, these guys have started a charitable organization or a, I don't know if you would call it kind of a one-off, or you're affiliated with San Filippo, and you guys have Carter's Challenge. But just kind of, you know, before we get started on everything, why don't you give everyone a breakdown of, you know, of Carter and San Filippo and Carter's Challenge and just kind of the, you know, the gamut. So
why don't you go first?
So Carter's 5, and we found out that he had a really rare pancreatitis disorder when he was right around 18 months. So due to that, his GI when he was about 3 was like, hey, he's still not potty trained. Like, let's go send you to the geneticist to make sure that nothing's wrong. And I was like, okay, you know, thinking like there's no chance that this child has 2 genetic disorders. We walk in, the geneticist looks at our son, looks back at us and goes, I think your son might have MPS. And I'm like, well, what's MPS? And he's like, well, it's mucopolysaccharidosis and I think he has Sanfilippo. And I'm like, Sanfilippo what? And then he starts listing all these horrible things that come with this disease. And I remember going home with him that night thinking like, there's no way Carter has like this. So with Sanfilippo syndrome, which Carter was diagnosed with that following May. So we're almost a year and a half into diagnosis right now. Around 5, they typically start losing their speech and language. They have sleep issues to where they're up at all hours of the night. They forget how to swallow. They won't be able to eat. They have painful muscle movement disorders, seizures, and because there's no cure, they'll die in their teens.
So. Wow.
And one of the things that I know, you know, it was incredible, obviously, for any parent, any human being to receive that kind of news. And we were devastated, but I remember very well sitting the next day on our stairs with Jen, and it was the first time that we were able to really cry about it because we had our daughter with us, and we wanted to make sure that she didn't feel at all any of the pain that we were already starting to endure. And I remember talking with Jen, and we're saying, you know what, we're not going to be victims. This is it. You know, these are the cards that are dealt, and they suck. And I wish that nobody, not my worst enemy, would have these type of cards dealt, especially with your children. It's one thing if you're told that for yourself,
right,
for your child who deserves an opportunity. But we said, we're not going to be victims. Let's figure out who's leading the fight, who's out there trying to figure out a cure for these children. And Jen found
the Cure
Sanfilippo Foundation. So we don't have our own foundation. We're just parents involved who love the people who started this foundation. So. And so, you know, every day is a struggle, but I feel like that as you guys all feel in this room and in this gym, that life is a blessing and life is what you make of it. And it's not always going to be the prettiest and everything's not going to work your way, but you just have to make a conscious effort every day to try your best, to be the best version of you, even when everything's stacked against you.
Yeah.
And I solely just not only believe in it, but want my children to be those people. I want, you know, both Carter for the time that we have them and my daughter Sophia to really fully believe in that because I know what it did for my life. You know, I've had incredible amounts of handicaps and I've been able to figure out a way to each time turn that handicap into something that was going to help me out in the future. And I was very fortunate and I won the lottery when I met Jen and we fell in love and we both feel the exact same way about life, you know, and I think that that's so amazing. You don't go through something like this if you're partner in crime, if you're Kobe and Shaq, if you're Jordan and Pippen, it doesn't feel the same way about things, you know. So I feel like we started Carter's Challenge based on that, on the fact that my son Carter is amazing and he goes through so much. I mean, the first year that we were diagnosed with chronic pancreatitis, we spent over 200 days in the hospital. And he was in isolation for 125 of those days. He's the happiest little boy that you could see. He's so passionate about life and about sharing and about, you know.
I love that about him. Like in all the videos, you can feel that. You can sense that in his videos.
Like if he loves something, he wants everyone to just love it as much as he does.
Honestly. Yeah, he's amazing. And my daughter Sophia is equally as amazing. And she's...
And how old she?
Grow up. She's seven.
And she honestly is so wise beyond her years. She's so nurturing. She's already has like this like little mothering thing about her. Like when she knows he's not feeling, oh, bud, are you okay? Like, you know, just like wants to cuddle him. And I mean, she's had to grow up really quick. And that's something that I just feel terrible about on a daily basis. But she has done it with so much poise that I'm so blessed that she's our daughter. I am just so proud of her every single day.
You guys may have seen it on episode 3. I was talking to Nick and we were just talking about positivity and all of that kind of stuff. And you guys said that you made a decision and actually Adam talked about it in, you know, in episode 1, you know, when he found out about his dad and suicide and all of that stuff. And Adam said it, he made a choice and he think that that's the difference. And Nick said something along the lines of like, what's the alternative? You know what I mean? And that's, and I want to go into depth about all of that, but I think, that is, it's such a simple concept, but it's simple yet so powerful. You know what I mean? Because it is. It's what is the alternative to just waste the rest of your days here?
Who are you helping?
Yeah, who are you helping? You're not helping yourself. You're not helping Carter. You're not helping Sophia or your friends. There's absolutely no good that can come from it. And so there kind of is no other choice.
And I think also one of the toughest parts that comes with that choice that you make is that you would think that more people would be on board with you and that everyone's going to, you know, support the fact that, hey, we're not going to choose to be depressed. We're not going to choose to be feeling bad for ourselves, but we're going to do the opposite. And we're going to live our life and we're going to take things as they come, but be more focused on the positive.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you sometimes find out that the people that you have around don't feel the same way.
Yeah.
And that they almost... sometimes are upset with you because you do feel that way. So that's when you got to really step up to the challenge and say, hey,
do you think they look at it like, how can they be so positive in this situation? Do they just not care?
I think a lot of people don't think that we actually cope with this. And to tell you the truth, like
they think you guys are being fake almost.
Yep. I think a lot of people think that about anyone who's dealt cards that are very difficult, and they are like, this isn't going to break me. This is just going to empower me. The thing is you're not in our day in and day out. You don't know how much love and positivity there is in our life. And honestly, like,
or how much tears or sadness there are. You know, the thing is that I'm a firm believer that these type of situations shouldn't basically define who you are.
Yeah.
You know, they're just a part of your life. And even though we're talking about life and death here, my son is more than just that. My son is more than just this disease. So I'm not going to lead any conversation when you see me with, oh, did you know about my son? He's not, you know, he's not doing well. No, I can tell you a thousand other things about my son that are amazing.
Right.
You know, and I think that when people see you doing that, they sometimes think that either it's not real. They can even go to those extremes, or they can just, I think, like you said, feel like you're fake, like that you can't be that happy. But what is the alternative?
Right.
If you allow a little bit of anything else to come in, then before you know it, you'll be depressed and you'll be out of your system. And how can you help anybody at that time?
Yeah.
But if you continue to push me in the direction where you want me to almost be sad and you want me to not, then I've got to unfortunately figure out a way to not necessarily have you in my camp.
Yeah. You know, yeah. You gotta keep negativity out of your camp, out of your life. You know, that's, I think negativity to success, happiness, anything. I mean, it's the bane of all of it. You guys said actually a few things that kind of lead perfectly into my book. So in a nutshell, and I kind of talked about this last week with Pat, is the legacy mindset, it's not just geared towards entrepreneurs or, I mean, it's geared towards, you know, mothers and fathers. It's the idea of not just the mindset that you need for success, but the mindset that you need really just to live a happy, fulfilled life in general. And it's centered around the concept of the legacy that you want to build and leave, that legacy expands beyond just yourself, that it expands to your significant other, to your friends, to the people you interact with on a daily basis, to your children. And the mindset that's necessary to kind of see it through and see it fulfilled. And there's three main concepts of it. The first is that you reverse engineer your decisions for your legacy, to achieve your legacy. I think so many of our decisions are based on short-term gratification. We could take something very simple as working out. I think a lot of people that are watching this can probably relate. And I break it down into three different categories. That there's decision, that you make decisions for three things. You make decisions for task value, result value, and then legacy value. And most people don't make decisions for the third. Mm-hmm. They make them for the first two, and most make them for the first, which is task value, which is mean you only do something because you find enjoyment in the task itself, right? So it's why people just binge watch TV because instead of doing something else productive, because they actually just, that's more enjoyable to them. Result value is doing something not necessarily because you like the task itself, but the result of accomplishing that task has value to you. So if we put in a working out reference, if you don't like exercise, right, then you're not going to do it for task value because you don't like to exercise. But maybe you'll do it for the result value, that even though you don't love it, you know the benefits that come from doing it. And so, you know, better health, you know, more energy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you do it for that reason. And then hopefully you end up liking it enough to do it for task value. I think for a lot of people that's still not enough. The result value decision is still not enough. And so the big part of the book is to re-engineer your mind or reprogram your mind to do it for legacy value. That it's more than just the results that you personally get from going to the gym or the task that you enjoy of working out. That it extends to your kids. That if part of your legacy is to raise kids that are healthy, that have high energy, that are motivated, that they are going to do what they see their parents doing. You will never be able to get across to them to do all these things if you don't do it yourself. And so that should be the motivating factor, that even if you don't like exercising, that even if you don't see for yourself the benefits of doing it to have more energy and be healthy, then God damn it, do it for the kid that you are trying to motivate, that that child who is a part of your the legacy you're trying to create. And so taking that concept into how you approach, you know, business, your, you know, your kids, your relationships, everything. The second part is learning how to define exactly what you want your legacy to be. I think that's hard. That's, you know, kind of digging deep within yourself and finding what you really desire and want. The third part is the kind of part I really want to get to, and that's the legacy pyramid. And so it's a pyramid that I've created, and it has interpersonal skills on the outside. Those are the skills that you use on a daily basis to interact with people. Things like people skills and organization and diligence and things like that. Things that I think are necessary to make you have a successful life. The inside of the pyramid, which I call the heart of the pyramid, are the interpersonal traits, the things that kind of make you who you are. And that's what we want to get to, because I think that is the foundation of everything the legacy pyramid is, and nothing else is possible unless you first have that core. And at the bottom of it, each tier builds upon itself. So the bottom tier is self-esteem and self-awareness. And that builds into the second tier, which is positivity, which we talked a lot about, and perspective.
Yeah.
And that's really what I want to get to, a lot of what you guys are talking about. Then it goes into gratitude and humility, which I think is like the be a good person tier. And then the top of the pyramid, that I have the thing that's the most closely related to success and happiness and everything in general, is perseverance. Resiliency, determination, grit, whatever you want to call it. And those three things, I want to talk about positivity and perspective, and the top, which is resiliency or perseverance. Because I have it set up, and I believe that unless you have everything else, unless you have perspective and positivity and humility and gratitude and self-awareness and self-confidence, if you don't have all of those, perseverance is impossible. And if that is the key, if perseverance is the key to success at anything, it is so important that you build and focus on getting all of those other traits first. And you guys, part of the reason why you guys are here, I think exude all of those things. And your perseverance is why you guys are so inspiring to everybody, and why I think Carter will have a fulfilled life, and will, and the legacy you guys are going to leave are going to extend so far beyond just you and him and everything. But I want to know your thoughts on that. I want to know your thoughts on specifically perspective, positivity, and perseverance. I want to know how you guys implement that on a daily basis, and how you think, if it does, how it helps you with everything that you guys do.
Thank you so much for your compliment.
Because, yeah, that was incredibly nice. I don't know about all that, yeah, but we're just living.
We're just doing.
That's it.
No, I mean, you're speaking our language. Exactly how you said that, Pyramid, that is everything that I think you literally nailed it on the head. If you're like, here, let me give you the tools to success, you laid it all out for people. And like you said, it doesn't need to be with family or business, or it could be a lifestyle. Think
yeah.
of it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you live your life.
Yeah. Do you guys find it tough at all? Because I see so many other charities out there, mm-hmm. right? Big ones and small ones, not using the funds properly or correctly.
Yep.
But I watch how you guys go about what you guys do. And there's an element, a very strong element, of just pure genuineness. I absolutely fell in love with the video you guys did and the event or whatever of Halloween when it wasn't Halloween, because that's Carter's favorite holiday, and everybody on your street. Everybody.
So kind. So
Jeremy, we'll have to put a little clip on there of this.
So kind.
They all did it. They all rallied around and they all jumped on board, and there were, it was, I don't know, you have to remind me, I don't know what month it was.
It was,
it was like summertime. It was like, you know what I mean? It's like summertime and people are in their costumes going up and down the street, and Carter's having a blast. And that I think is a testament to you guys and your genuineness. Because people just, they believe. And I think that's why they're so quick to just support you guys, and Carter and Sanfilippo and everything. But do you guys ever find that you guys, it's harder to distinguish yourself from the ones that, you know what I mean, that aren't as genuine, big or small?
I think there does come a time. I know with the Sanfilippo community, everyone is, it's a very small community. So, and everyone means well within it. I think what's hard about it is that, you know, we just kind of want a legacy for our son in a sense. And when we jumped on board with Cure Sanfilippo, everyone within that foundation, they are in it together. We realize that teamwork makes the dream work. And if you're not all there, you're not going to get, you know, our goal. And we were really lucky to reach our goal this year, which was like $1.5 million that we raised just this last year, which is phenomenal. But yeah, it is hard to distinguish yourself. But how do you make someone care about something that they don't know about?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the difficult part.
But I think that's it. And I think you guys are doing it because, like, yeah, it's about, hey, here's a charity. We need to raise X amount of dollars because we want to try to help these kids. That's almost taking a back seat to, I want my kid to live the best life that he can live, whether it be for 12 months or 12 years. And so we're going to do things like this Halloween thing and this, and all of that just comes first. So it's just, that's what I think is so great about what you guys do.
Well, I think also one of the things that we try our best to do is to do things mostly for awareness, because we feel like that's where the power's at.
Yeah.
You know, if people can just hear about it, connect in some way or the other, then that would be great, because you never know who's out there that might be able to come up with a cure or know somebody who knows somebody.
Yeah.
So awareness. And also we care, like genuinely, we look at these families and we're devastated by how hard their lives are. You know, we're blessed because our equation was Jen is a stay-at-home mother, which is the hardest job in the world. And I didn't understand that until my first year when my children were healthy and I had to stay with them. And it was just very difficult. So for any stay-at-home mom, that's the most toughest job in the world. But then Jen does so much. She helps me run my business. She, you know, jumped on board and became an expert on chronic pancreatitis. Then she became an expert on Sanfilippo. So, you know, I think that the number one thing that we try our best to do is do things that we love in our heart. And we hope that other people like it. But if they don't, that's okay too.
Yeah.
You know, like we understand that everything's going on in it. So when people can jump in and join, great. When they can't, we don't judge and we don't, you know, get upset, because that's life.
Yeah.
You know? So that's our goal, is to try to raise as much awareness as possible and to make sure that in the process we don't get lost on the fact that there is a time clock on our son.
Yeah.
And that, you know, every day we wake up and we're like, okay, how are we gonna make today special? Because at the end of the day, we don't know. We're trying to put in 20, 30, 40 years in 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Worth the time. Something as like simple as saying like, oh, hey, you know what? Today he wanted a birthday cake at Ralph's. Let's do it. And because we don't have any birthdays he's going to get. And you just sing happy birthday and blow out the candle. And that's special to us. So it's something like as small as that, you know, we just, So.
That's cool. That's cool. You guys already kind of mentioned it, but I'm really curious on a deeper level, what it was like for a parent, and there's a reason why I want to ask this, and it's because there's got to be an initial moment of tragedy when you guys first found out. And I want to know what it was like when you guys first, when the doctor delivered those words.
I'll take this one first.
Yeah, you go
so,
for it.
So, you know, our son had been in the hospital for 14 days, and they still didn't know what was wrong with him. And he had lost a lot of weight, and he was in a lot of pain, and he was vomiting and couldn't keep anything down. And the doctor came in and said, look, I don't have good news for you guys. You know, we still don't know exactly what caused it, but he's got this disease called chronic pancreatitis. We've never seen it. So it's never good if you're the first person that has it. And we don't know life expectancy. We don't know if this could be something that ever will be fixed. And
treatable.
If somehow this is going to take him away today, tomorrow, or in a few months. I remember asking the doctor, you know, after a couple of days, you know, will he be ever able to play sports? And he said, no, he'll never be able to participate in any activity. His stomach is too extended. And, you know, if he just gets hit a little bit, Really? He can go into an attack and pass away.
Really?
He can bleed out. He can do anything like that.
I have no idea.
Nothing like that.
So to me, waiting for my son to be born, you know, counting his fingers and his toes and knowing that everything was going to be okay and then getting hit with this, you know, that brought a lot of tears and a lot of sadness, but we tried our best to make it work. And then when we found out about San Filippo, I remember we were in Disney World and the doctor called 2 months early. We were expecting a phone call in 3-4 months, and he called, and we knew it wasn't good, and we were just about to board a plane, and we were with our daughter, and we had just had an amazing time because, once again, we didn't know the time that we had with our son from the chronic pancreatitis, and it was like everything stopped, and you can't breathe. But at the time that all this is going on, you still have this duty to your daughter to not let her for 1 second hurt. If you can keep that away from her, then that's what you do, you know? So my wife and I led our getting to the plane and doing all that. And I remember it was just the longest plane ride ever.
I think we said like maybe 5 words to each other on the plane because we both knew, like, we even brought it up. We were both just going to immediately just be in tears. And the drive home was so silent. And then as soon as the kids went to school the next morning, that's just when the floodgates opened and we're like, what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
So.
And it was just, you know, it was crazy to me to think that after doing research that night and, you know, none of us got any sleep, Jen and I, we did research and we were just, you know, we couldn't believe that something so nasty could be out there for kids. And the fact that you just never know as a parent, you know, so it was just crazy. And every day, you know, it was about 6 months where every day, at least 2 or 3 times a day, I would just bust out crying and you couldn't help it. And you're still trying to live your life and figure out what's best for everyone that you've touched and that's around you. And how can you still be able to help them out with what you're doing? So
it comes in waves, honestly. Like you have high days and you have low days, and some days it just hits you harder than others. Lately with Carter, you know, he's been having really restless nights and he's been getting like very aggressive, which is a part of the disease. And for us, it's just hard to watch because we're starting to see our son start slipping. And that, I mean, even right now, I just got chills saying it. And I sit every single time I say it, I get chills, but it's just so heartbreaking. And it's like you said, you just got to find something to kind of go forward and be like, okay, this sucks right now, but I'm not going to let this define this moment. So
what is your guys' legacy? What do you guys want your legacy to be?
I think we have a couple of different legacies, but I think the main one that we want is for Carter. I want the Save the Unicorns to follow him. And you can go to savetheunicorns.com and immediately goes to your San Filippo Foundation right now. And I really just want people, anytime that they see a unicorn, to think of Carter. You know, I know that people know about childhood cancer and all those things. I want to get San Filippo on that same platform. I want that to happen because I think it needs to happen. So,
and I think for us, you know, like I said, there's a time clock. You know, the moment that they gave us this diagnosis, there was a time clock, and that clock is ticking, and we're definitely never giving up. But we understand that more than likely the cure may not come in time for Carter, you know. So our legacy is going to be to continue that fight, you know, to make sure that no matter what, while I'm standing here and while Jen's standing here and while Sophia's standing here, that we continue to help out children so that hopefully one day these parents get diagnosed and they're going to say, hey, your son's got San Filippo, but there's a cure. Don't worry, you know, and they won't have to struggle as much as we did. And like I said, there's so many other families that we've met that have struggled much more than us. You know, this type of situation can take a toll on a marriage and on a family and so many different things, you know. So I think one of the legacies would definitely be to continue to fight strong and to help out all these children and to find a cure. And then the other legacy, similar to what you said, for your children, when you're ready to have some, is for them to know that, you know, mom and dad did more for others than they did for themselves. And that, you know, the legacy for fun and sports, you know, I love what we do for a living. And every day I wake up super excited to continue to do it. So my legacy is to be able to have fun and sports be something that really allows families to have that connection between sports and activities and exercise and healthiness and get them ready to go from a young age to transition into being at a gym like yours and be ready to, you know, to tackle the world. Because as you know, exercise clears the mind, it gives you extra energy, and it allows you to think clearly about things that you need to do in your life. And without it, you're really battling uphill.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%.
It also teaches you, like, you don't get anything unless you put in the work.
Yeah.
And that's true with anything.
Anything,
so.
Yep. Well, thank you, guys.
Definitely, man. Thanks for having us.
Big time for coming on. Jeremy, let's make sure we get a Kira Sanfilippo on a Carter's Challenge thing up there so people can go click on it.
Perfect. That sounds
awesome. Donate and just
see. Or just follow the story.
Yeah, just follow the story. Honestly, follow the story of Carter, the things these guys are doing for him, and just making every minute of his life something to remember is what's really cool to watch. So
thank you
guys.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Later, guys. Awesome, man. Thank you, dude.
Thank you so much.
Of course, thank you.